Your Bible's open? Now you do. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. And today we're going to highlight just a couple of things. And again, Lord willing, be able to connect the dots here. But if you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand. I know some of our ushers are available to get one for you to follow along with us. And, you know, as they're doing that, I want you to be praying specifically for what's going to be shared in the next 15 to 20 minutes. And the reason why is, how do you come back after hearing and seeing these things and be able to do it justice? And I know 15 minutes is not enough. 20 minutes is not enough. We could spend a whole month talking about this issue. But the reality is that today is a day where we get an opportunity to see God's heart in this when it comes to what is his mission. And for us as a church, because if you haven't heard this, God is desiring for us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers. And so we're not here to play church. We're not here just to be relaxed and sit in comfortable chairs and say, you know, praise the Lord for pastors' corny jokes. I wish he'd stop talking about burritos. Never. But the reality is that it's much more. Because what God is wanting to teach us in here, we're to live it outside of this building. And so this morning, what I want to do is be able to connect these dots and, you know, what is the purpose of Mission Sunday? And it's for us to be reminded of God's calling for us as a church and as individuals. And I just want to be able to share this with you. God's mission for the church is this. He's given us marching orders. And what are they? To go into all nations and make disciples. This is what God has given to us. This portion of scripture that I want to read to you is Jesus' kind of last words before he ascends into heaven. And so what I want to do is I want to encourage all of us, let's all stand out of reverence as we read from verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And everyone said, amen. Amen. Father, again, we thank you for this time. And I pray, God, pour out your spirit and give us understanding today, that we too would not only know the beauty of what we have before us, but we would engage, that we would be active in sharing our faith today. For I believe with all my heart, the greatest gift we can give our world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Lord, fill us. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please be seated. So again, for us as a church, the greatest desire is to be able to go out and share the gospel to fulfill and carry out this great commission that Jesus began. The very scripture that we just read, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus spoke these words. And it was not a suggestion, it was a command. The 11 disciples that were present that day that heard these words, notice with me as we began reading, that some of them worshiped him as he spoke when they saw him, and others, it says, that they doubted. And I can't tell you how important it is for us today that when we look at what's going on in our world, and after seeing the movie Sound of Freedom and seeing this video, there are some people who say, never happened. Some people will say, you're just blowing things out of proportion. Can I remind you that what we saw and what you just witnessed has been a ministry that has existed for the past 15 years. This has been going on in our world, and many people may not know it, but the reality is it's here. And it's even here in St. George, believe it or not. And the reality that I want to bring today is, again, I pray that we would not be ones that doubt what's going on in the world, but that we would do what the other part of the disciples did, which was worship. Now, you might be thinking, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Here's the truth. You worship Jesus with all of your heart, you become a light. And when you become a light, notice the testimony of these young ladies, these young kids who have come into contact with Jesus, and now they're filled with the joy of the Lord and going back into their own communities and preaching the gospel to those who sold them. That can only come from a work that Jesus is doing. Amen. There's no way you can pretend in doing that. And so when we worship the Lord, guess what happens? We fulfill what Pastor Josh said last week. Jesus can't be hidden. His name will go out, and his name has power, and not only power, but the word of God is what transforms our lives. So this is why it's important for us to take a break and to come back to reality and understand, why do we do what we do? Why is it that we're here? Why is it that God has given us this instruction? Because as of right now, if you don't know this, the Great Commission has not been fulfilled. And so for us as a church, our greatest desire is to be able to carry on the work that Jesus began. Remember with me, as we've been going through the Gospel of Mark, remember that Jesus himself said, I must go into all the towns and preach the gospel, preach the kingdom of God. So what does that tell us today as a church? What is our purpose? Not to build our own little kingdom. It's not all about what we do here in this church and that's alone. You know, that's all of it. We're not here just to feel comfortable, but we're here to build up, raise up, and send out. And the reality that I pray that we would see today is this. The message, again, of the gospel is what brings hope. God's overall plan in redemption is this, to set people free from sin, to reconcile them back to himself, and to give them the most amazing gift ever, which is everlasting life. That's the gospel. Amen. That's what changes and brings light into darkness. That's what happens when a young heart or even an older heart, doesn't matter, as God has a heart, there's no limits to what he can do. And so the beauty that I pray we would see as a church, now as individuals, is that we all play a part in it. We all have been given the opportunity and the blessing as we confess Christ as our Lord and Savior to have a personal relationship with him. And now God wants us to share that. God wants us to be able to go out and be a part of this amazing mission that he has. And you know what I find interesting? Is that all the way back in Genesis, in chapter 11, God's own people, listen carefully. God's desire was for them, after the flood, was to multiply, to be fruitful and multiply, okay? Modern translation, have a family. Okay? Some niños. Niños. You know what I'm saying? Multiply. And then what? Fill the earth. Go. Not stay here. Go. Did God's people obey? No. They built this tower, and the tower was to, you know, be built in a way that they would reach the heavens, according to the scripture. But it wasn't so that they could give God glory in it. What was the purpose? So they could make a name for themselves. And God stepped in and said, no, that's not my plan. So what did he do? At that time, there was only one language. And he confused it by bringing other languages. And then he scattered them. See, I don't want to be like that. I want us to remember that God's mission from the very beginning was always, listen carefully, always to use his people to be a blessing to all of the families of the earth. So what does this tell us? God's mission was never meant to be kept a secret. The gospel is meant for everybody. And this message of redemption and this gift of salvation is for all people. And the way people can receive it is, again, by believing by faith not only in who Jesus is, but the finished work of the cross, there is only one way to have a right relationship with God, and it is it. That's the gospel message that Jesus, that God is commanding of us today to share with this world. And so not only do I pray that we would be willing to do that, but do you understand the privilege that we have in that? I mean, I want you to think about that for a second, that God, out of everybody on the face of this earth, desires to use you and me as those instruments to make him known. That's pretty cool. Thank you. I appreciate that. Listen, church, it's something that I pray we would not take lightly, because the reality is that as we live in these dark times, the way that we battle these things is through the gospel. And it is the gospel that can pierce through any hardness of heart. It is the gospel that can change a person's perspective of, you know, being angry with God as to what has happened to them, and using it as a God stance and bringing him glory through it. And so I pray that we would see that God's desire is for us as a church and as individuals to fulfill that great commission. And in this passage, I just want to bring out three things that I pray that would encourage us so that we can fulfill the great commission. Okay? Three simple things. And I know what you're thinking, Pastor, that's not my deal. You don't know, I'm an introvert. I'm the one that has the shirt that says it's too people-y out there. Okay? I get that. But again, when you give God your heart, this isn't, if you would have known me before Christ, this is not me. This is him. And the reality is, God will give you the ability to do whatever he is asking of you to do. And so the truth of the matter is, there's things that we can do that we can accomplish this great commission. And what is it? I want us to see in verse 18, what did Jesus say to his disciples? Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So the first thing that we want to do in order to fulfill the gospel or fulfill the great commission is this: believe the claim that Jesus made, that he literally has all authority in heaven and on earth. Again, as we've been going through the Gospel of Mark, remember with me that everything that Jesus has been doing, people have testified to the fact that he speaks and he preaches with authority, with power. Even the evil spirits bow and they listen and they obey him. Jesus has full control in that spiritual realm. He controls all of his angels. He even controls the enemy and all of the fallen angels that have gone with him. Those fallen angels that have been deceived by Satan himself. Jesus has all authority over them. The other thing, he has all authority over the earth. Now, don't misunderstand. It's talking much more than just the land and the water and the sea and all the things that we see as part of God's creation. And what's interesting to me is what I find interesting is this. Sometimes God's creation walks more in obedience to his voice than we do. You guys follow me? You're a little quiet this morning. But think about this. He's on the sea. The wind's raging, water's coming in the boat. He steps up, speaks, no more wind. It's calm, rain gone. His creation listens. What about us? Sometimes we have selective hearing. Sometimes we think we can pick and choose what we get to do with God's commands, as if we're an editor. Oh, we don't like that. I guarantee you there's some people, if they didn't realize how special God's word was, they would open it up, don't like that, they'd rip out a page. It'd be interesting to see what kind of Bible they have at the end of the year. But here's the truth. I hope and pray that if we believe that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, then we can also believe that that same authority is now upon us. Because the same Spirit that lives in us is the same Spirit that moved in Jesus. And 1 John tells us again, he that lives in us is greater than he that lives in this world. Amen. We have all authority, beloved, and we have no need to fear when it comes to accomplishing God's mission. The second thing that I want to encourage us to fulfill the Great Commission is this: obedience to the commission. Walk in obedience to the things that God has commanded in this portion of Scripture. Again, Jesus never meant for us as a church to build our own little kingdom. He wants us to raise up. Every single one of us in this place as a believer in Jesus Christ has a spiritual gift that God wants to use in and through your life. You play a part in building for God's kingdom. And with this gift, I pray that you would see again that we're to take this gift that God has given and go into all the nations. And that means we don't have a choice. When God speaks, and that means even to the darkest of places. And in the Scriptures, listen, some of God's saints weren't always obedient, right? Abraham didn't always obey God's command in the very beginning. How about Jonah? Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, that great and wicked city. Kind of, we could replace Nineveh and maybe put Cambodia. We can put other parts of the 1040 window in there where people are exploited, you know, the helpless are taken advantage of, where there's a bunch of evil going on, where they're enemies of Israel, where they're enemies of Christianity. Do you realize that there's a portion in our world called the 1040 window? It's also called the resistant belt because they're no friends to Christianity. You get caught preaching the gospel there, it's death. And guess what, beloved? As far as I understand and know, from the very beginning of this church existence, the very area that God has called us to in ministering the gospel is a 1040 window. This is the place where it's least attention of the gospel, where people refrain from going. But this is where God has called us as a church to invest in, to send, and to partner with. And the reality that I see here is that God says, you don't get to pick and choose where you go. And again, if God is the one sending us, remember, his authority is what we go out in. He is the one who will go with us. And here's the other thing that I pray that we would see. As Jesus wants us to go into all of these nations, we're not to bring America with us. But what are we to bring? Jesus. Notice what he said, teach them to observe all things that I have taught you. We're not there to change culture. We're not there to change and bring America with us. We're to bring the gospel. We're to bring Jesus and allow Jesus to do what he does beautifully. And some of those testimonies are amazing. You know, as Bree shared about the smiles on the kids' faces, as she had the opportunity to be there and realizing that you couldn't even tell that all of these things happened to them, is a work of God. And as a work of God, listen carefully, to then take what little she was able to give and bring a good memory. You know, when I don't know if you had this thought running through your head, but ever since we saw the movie Sound of Freedom, and even today, I don't know, maybe some of you felt like getting on a plane and going to Cambodia and beating up some people. But is that what really God wants us to do? Yeah. I'm going to get you in touch with a guy by the name of Victor Marx, and you can partner with him, okay? But here's the reality. Just as much as there's many parts in the body, there's many giftings, many callings, and they're all different. Some are traditional, some are outside of the box. This is outside of the box. But it's being a light in a dark place. It's being a light where kids can meet Jesus. It's being a light in the most important place, because then notice the testimony that as these kids, as their hearts are being filled with Jesus, what are they doing with it? They're going back into their villages and extending the grace and the mercy and the love of God to those who have abused them. That is only a work of Jesus. Amen. And so the beauty that I pray we would see is that we are to go and not bring America, but bring Jesus. And as we bring Jesus, the greatest testimony, the greatest witness that we could ever be for the Lord is to believe his word and live it out. To take what he is teaching us and show people how to live for Jesus. That is going to be the powerful witness of our own hearts being transformed by the Lord. Some of you may be thinking, you know, there's no way I could ever do those things. But I guarantee you, if you were to ever ask the lady who started this ministry 15 years ago, do you feel called to do this? She would be very transparent with you and say no. But she's been there. And it hasn't been all glory, glory, hallelujah. She's put herself in the line for the sake of saving some of these kids. Jesus is the only one who can put that in us to do those things. The last encouragement that I want to remind us about is found in the very last verse, 20b. We can fulfill the Great Commission when we understand and know that Jesus' presence is always with us. We have that ability to go because God is going with us. We have the ability to go into the darkest places. And again, same exact scenario as Jonah. Remember, God called him to go there. He ran. He didn't want to go. But God got a hold of his heart once again. Now, tell me if he doesn't have a hard heart or a stubborn heart. Because I don't know any person who would be willing to suffer 3 days in a big fish to finally turn to God. That's some hardness, man. But when he finally was released and he went, remember where he was going. Enemy of Israel. They were cruel to their enemies. They were doing a lot of wicked things. God saw, God heard the cry, and God said, I want you to go. And though he tried to run before, God brought him right back where he wanted him, and God was with them, and he preached the message. God was with him. And what happened? All of Nineveh repented. All of Nineveh, from the greatest to the least, believed in the message that he gave. We only have this. 40 days, the city's going to be overturned if you don't repent. That's all we got. But God can use the message that he gives to turn hearts. And not only do I pray that we would take advantage of the truth that we have, God has all authority. God desires for us to go into all nations. And God has a desire to always be with us. That in itself would give us the boldness to fulfill the mission that God has called us once again to fulfill. For those of you who have been in the East Commons, and you've asked very clearly, hey, what's that red triangular shape on that little small map out there? That was a joke, by the way. You missed it. For those of you who don't know, it's called the 1040 window. And in that area, again, is the least amount of evangelism. It is ruled by other religions, from Buddhism to Hinduism, Islam, many others. And in that area, we have been blessed. Listen carefully. That a work in North Africa has begun. We've been blessed to go to Thailand and support several workers there. We have the ability to partner with World Vision, which is just below the 1040 window mark. And we've been praying, and again, this isn't just because the movie came out 3 weeks ago, but we have been literally praying for the last almost 2 years that God would bring a ministry to us in this caliber of being able to help those who are being trafficked. And we've come across many, but what was the difference? They were good organizations. This one is a faith-based ministry. And this is where God has called us, because Cambodia is within that 1040 window. And we as a church have now a responsibility, as we've heard, that we would not run like Jonah. That once we've seen and once we've been able to understand and know what's going on, that we would understand not only do these ladies, these young girls, need a safe haven for them to meet Jesus. Some of you may not like what I'm going to say right now, but it is the honest truth. Not only do we need to pray for this home, not only do we need to pray for these little girls, but we also need to be praying for these pedophiles. Because I don't know if you noticed in that video, they didn't look like Cambodians. Many of them are Westerners. Many of them come from the United States, Europe. So if we are doing what God has called us to do, if we are living out our faith and being a light, and proclaiming the name of Jesus, wouldn't it be awesome for him to heal those who are pedophiles? Wouldn't it be awesome that we would see Jesus heal those who are addicted to porn? That we would see the power of Jesus setting people free from any addiction, whether it's drugs, depression. Jesus is the answer. And that's why this is his mission, because Jesus knows exactly what we need. And the reality is, it is the gospel that brings light into darkness. And there's a whole lot more in that window that we're praying that God would lead us to. But for now, I want to encourage all of us to do a few things. And what is it? Number one, to understand as we fulfill the Great Commission, I'm going to give some more relief to all of you. Are you guys ready? Number one, some are called to go. That means surrendering all to live for the Lord, serve the Lord, maybe in another nation, another country, and do this full time. Make a prayer card. We'll put it up on our wall, okay? Those are called. Those are the ones we want to send out. The other part of fulfilling the Great Commission comes by partnering, helping those go. Like, if Dave Eubank called me up and said, Pastor Jerry, I want you to come on an outreach with me, I'd say no. For those of you who don't know who Dave Eubank is, look up Free Burma Rangers. You'll see a guy running behind a tank in the middle of a war. Uh-uh. No, not my calling. You already seen me trying to run into this sanctuary earlier. God help me. I'd be dead in a minute. That's not my calling. That's his calling. I'm not going to go, but there's two things that I can do. Pray for him. And as God leads, I can also partner with him, not just spiritually, but financially. So there's many ways to fulfill the Great Commission. God may be calling some of us in this room to go. God may be calling some of us to partner and send. But the beauty is we're fulfilling what God is asking of us. And that's what I pray we would take seriously. Because again, beloved, we're not here to play church. We need to be the church. In this dark time, the church needs us to shine brighter than the darkness. Amen. I don't want to be a Jonah and run from the calling of God. I don't want to turn an eye to what we've seen and what we know is going on. And I definitely, listen carefully, I definitely don't want to be in that bracket of the statistics that are going out there that are showing that many churches don't even have a missions-minded aspect of their church, an element of their church. I don't want to be that church. I want us to be a church, a body of Christ that is committed to fulfilling the Great Commission. And so all I'm asking you to do this morning is to pray and to seek the Lord and how you can partner. And understanding and knowing this ministry is going to be out in the West Commons. You can sign up, get a newsletter. You can be led by the Lord and do other things. But go, stop by, meet these ladies, ask questions. And I know that they'll be more than happy to answer any questions. They have other things on their table. All of those proceeds will go toward the home that they are ministering in. And so it's going to be a blessing to see what God's going to do in the future with this ministry. But for us here at Calvary, it's again in line with our heart and mission, and we're excited to be partnering with them. And so let us all stand. Worship team, go ahead and come forward. We're going to pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this time, and I do thank you for the opportunity that we've had to, again, just not only be reminded of your mission, but I pray that we are challenged. I pray, God, that we are willing to do and go anywhere you would want us to. And those three simple things of us remembering that you are the one who has all authority, that you're desiring for us to go into all nations, and that no matter where we go, no matter where we live, your presence will always be with us. And may that be what we need today to be bold in our faith. May we remember that whenever you call us, you enable us. And so we give you all the glory. Thank you for the work that you're doing within this fellowship and within any other organizations around the world who are Christ-centered. Lord, it's not about a ministry. It's not about an individual. It's not about one single church. It's all about you. And we desire to honor you with everything that is within us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.